Om Shanti. Good morning, sisters and brothers. It is such a great pleasure to introduce our dear divine Swiss sister Usha Naik. Today, she comes with our program on the topic Understanding the Subtle Aspect of Ego. And Sister Usha has been acknowledged for 46 years, and she has published 2 books, one, Self-Managing Leadership in English and Hindi, and the second one is Towards Spirituality in Hindi. She has helped many people to overcome mental stress, anxiety, addictions, and love esteem. Her lectures on, you can find many of her lectures on YouTube and TV programs in both Hindi and English. Importantly, our dear Usha sister has been awarded with 2 prestigious awards. The first one in 2012, she was awarded with Hall of Fame Award by the Public Relations Council of India, and recently, in September 2019, she was awarded an honor in Los Angeles, USA, with the prestigious award called the Global Order of Dignitaries by the Princess of Philippines. And today, she will share with us one of the very 3 key aspects that Brahma Baba summarized his spiritual efforts in many years in 3 key words. Do you remember the 3 key words that our Brahma Baba shared with us regarding his efforts? The first word is bodiless, second word, voiceless, and egoless. And today, our dear sister Usha will share with us one of very 3 key elements of the spiritual journey. Thank you, Sister Usha, for making the time to come with us today. Thank you. Om Shanti.
Om Shanti. Om Shanti. Today, in the morning, Murli, Baba was mentioning about how we have to respect Baba Srimad. Never ever make excuses for the study. Even though if we have to walk 6 miles, which is not at all necessary in the present age with all the things that we have to reach the center so easily. Nobody would walk so many kilometers, but during those days, yes, Baba said that if you would walk also, then also you will not feel the tiredness. And this was my personal experience when I walked from Bombay to Delhi in 1985, the youth year. And there were peace marches that were taken out from 13 different places, 13 different corners of India, reaching Delhi. And during that time, I just wanted to have that experience that yes, if we walk in Baba's remembrance, do we feel that tiredness? But 3 months reaching Delhi, it took us from Bombay to Delhi, 1700 kilometers, and about 50 kilometers every day, average 45 to 50 kilometers. And it was a really wonderful experience. Going through all the villages, talking to people, sharing knowledge with them, and seeing their excitement. Some places we had this experience that when we were traveling, we were walking and felt hot. And just remember, Baba, it's too hot. And the skies are clear. And from nowhere, one cloud would just emerge and it will follow above us as a canopy, giving that shade. So such wonderful experiences, beautiful experiences we had, that we never felt that tiredness, never felt sleepy after also. Immediately after walking all this, then we had to do public programs there. And it was like a lot of enthusiasm that Baba filled in us. And many centers were open during that time. Small, small places, centers were being opened, given places by people. Come and give us this knowledge more and more, more and more. So we had wonderful experience. So when I was listening to today's Murli, I was having all those scenes emerging in front of me. Yes, whatever Baba says has a lot of depth in it. And if we understand the significance of it, we can feel the presence and the company of Baba every moment, wherever we are. And there will never be any excuses. So today's subject is, as our sister said, what Brahma Baba, after attaining his perfection, just gave in essence the stage that we have to achieve, that is bodiless, egoless, and viceless. When we all know that in the vices, ego is one of the vices, but very clearly Baba has separated ego from all other vices. And I was thinking upon it because maybe we take all other vices and we take body consciousness or ego consciousness on the other side. And if it is a scale, maybe both weigh the same. The subtlety of ego is such, which emerges in such a way that many a times, we Brahmins also become victims of it. And that is when we are not able to understand. Although we are following Srimad, we are moving according to all the disciplines that Baba has given us, but still there is some heaviness that we all experience. And this heaviness is because of ego. Rest all other vices, maybe we are able to conquer them. Conquering lust is not difficult. Conquering anger is also easy, maybe. And other vices also, small, small weaknesses are left. So they all are on one side and ego on the other side. Both, if we weigh them as if they are equal. That is why Baba has separated these two, viceless and egoless. What is ego? Can anybody define ego? Can anybody define ego? What is ego? Huh? Yes? Arrogant, okay? Yes? False identification with oneself. Very rightly, Jyotiben has mentioned false identification. And how do we come under this influence of false identification, which is unrealized. We feel as if it is my speciality and I'm trying to identify myself with that speciality. But subtle, somewhere, the ego is moving in such a way that initially it is just like identifying ourselves with that speciality, but then the other complications just get into it, making it our consciousness become such that we are not able to realize that it is forming my subtle ego, the basis of that speciality also. I've started identifying myself with a false identity. The speciality is very little, but the projection is too big. And how do we come under this false identification? I'll just take you through a journey. And the one thing that we normally all do is constantly thinking. Thinking is natural. Constantly. And it is said, as we think, so are our feelings. So, can we have the slide together? So, as in our thoughts, so will be our feelings. Therefore, somebody has rightly said, watch out for your thoughts as they become your feelings. And watch out for the feelings because that is going to become your, yes, that is going to become your, watch out for the thoughts because that becomes your feelings. Watch out for the feelings because that is going to create your, create your attitude. So, our attitude is accordingly. And watch out for that attitude because that is how you are going to behave. Your actions will be accordingly. And watch out for the actions because that is going to create, that is going to create your personality or character. And as is your personality, so will be your destiny. Therefore it is said, destiny is in your hands. Until today, religion or the religious teachings have always told us, as is your actions, so will be your destiny. As is your actions, as is the quality of your actions, so will be the quality of your destiny. That is what religious teachings have told us. Psychology has taught us, as is your thoughts, so will be your actions, and so will be your destiny. So in short, we can say, psychology teaches us, as is the quality of your thoughts, so will be the quality of your destiny. But spiritual science takes us one step further. That this quality of thoughts is also generated. We generate positive thoughts, negative thoughts on the basis of our perception. How we perceive. Jaane do. Usko rehne do. As we perceive. If I perceive somebody's weaknesses, definitely my thinking process will be accordingly. If I perceive positive qualities, my thinking will be accordingly. Now, how do we develop perception? The perception is also created on the basis of experience. Past experiences with somebody has created my perception towards him on the basis of those experiences. So as is my experience, so will be my perception. And as is my perception, so will be my thinking. And everything follows. Now, how did I get that experience? What gave me that experience? There is something definitely that has come in our interaction that gave me that experience. So what was in the interaction that gave me that experience? Yes, anybody? Action. Something in the interaction. Okay. Well, I would say either values or weaknesses. They enter in a subtle way. Supposing somebody said something which really irritates me and I get angry. So what has come in the interaction? Anger. Now if I get angry, the other person who feels his self-respect is hurt, so he also responds in an angry way. And then I develop this experience, he's such an angry person. But I forget that my anger first came out in that interaction. And I hardly realized it. That anger was on the basis of something maybe. As some people said, normally I don't get angry. But if somebody speaks lies, I can't tolerate that. So maybe that person spoke lies because a fear maybe. That is his weakness. But if I get irritated on the basis of that, and then he also responds in a negative way, and then I say, he's such a bad person, you know. He has no practical inculcation in his life, or he has no dharana in his life. And then I always develop that perception towards that person. He's an angry person. Or he is a person who would always speak lies. So this perception and then the thinking goes accordingly. So why did he speak lies? Maybe because of my fear. Because he fears my anger. So he spoke lies. But I do not realize my weakness and I point out at his weakness. So in the interaction, there is some of the other weaknesses which is playing a very subtle role. Now that weakness or that values, how are they stimulated? Supposing you are at work and you have your senior or your boss and he says something to you and you know it is not practical. It is not good. It is against the ethics. But you can't speak because it's your boss. And you'll say, yes sir, okay, okay. You won't get angry on him. But supposing a junior at your workplace and he does the same thing or says the same thing and you really get angry on him. Why doesn't the anger erupt in front of your boss? Why does it erupt in front of your junior? So what is it that stimulates values or weaknesses in the interaction with people? Yes? The stimulation comes from the belief. Belief. Because I believe he's my senior, he's my boss. How can I say something to him? If I say, he'll fire me. But in front of your junior, because you believe he's your junior, you can tell him anything. So what I believe comes true for me. That's what it is said. So belief stimulates those values or weaknesses. In front of the boss, you'll always present yourself on the basis of values. Okay, sir, politely, gentleness, everything. But in front of your junior, you can behave anyhow. That's what you believe. And you've accepted it. Right? So, and belief is created on the basis of many other factors also. This is complete myself. This is all my mechanism. My internal mechanism. And so, I am responsible for it. So, religious teaching said, as is your action, so will be your destiny. Psychology said, as is the quality of your thoughts, so will be your actions, so will be your destiny. Spiritual science says, whatever you believe, and you hold on to that belief, so will be the quality of your thoughts, so will be the quality of your actions, and so will be your destiny. This is what spiritual science teaches us. So the basic change that we need to bring about in this Brahmin life is change the beliefs. Till today I've been holding on to those beliefs, thinking it is natural, thinking it is obvious. We are living in this world and it is obvious to have such beliefs. There's nothing wrong in it. That's my belief. But in order to become or go into that golden aged world, we need to bring about change at a very subtle level. The change at the belief level. So Baba says every day, keep your aim and object in front of you. That I am going to be transformed from this Brahmin life into angelic stage, and from angelic stage, then descending, after going to Paramdham, descending into the deity form. So now my belief has changed, so then everything starts changing. Baba used to share his experience, Sakar Baba, Brahma Baba, that I always used to carry the picture of Lakshmi and Narayan in my pocket. Always having that aim, I am going to become this. I am going to become this. So that brought the change fast. Because what I believe for myself, that will come down in my actions also. And that is going to create my destiny. So Baba says, always, always, keep your deity form in front of you, what you want to become. Either you want to become a king or a royal family or a subject, what do you want to become? Keep your inheritance, keep your aim in front of you, very vivid, very clear. The more clear it is, I am going to become this, then everything starts transcending into my system from the belief down to destiny. So destiny is in your hands and you create it. So this is the self. And this is what spiritual science teaches us. But in today's world, we find people are divorcing a lot in their relationships. Why families are breaking up? Why children are not able to stay with their parents? As soon as they get into that age, they separate. They feel, I can't stay with my parents now. Because the belief of the parents is something else, and the belief of the children is something else, which is not matching with one another. So the children feel it is better to live on our own now. They separate. In many cultures, still, they feel, no, the children should be together. But when the parents expect that the children to stay with them, what do the children say? We can, but we need to make a lot of changes. You need to change your belief system. I need to change my belief system. Then we can stay together. Husband, wife divorcing in the world. Why? Relationships are breaking up because both their beliefs are different. Nowhere there is a consensus. And so, when there is no consensus, they can't stay together. That is the destiny which they have to accept. Now, when I hold on to a wrong belief, whenever we hold on to a wrong belief and get attached to a wrong belief, now this is true. This is what I want in this way only. So when I get attached to any of my wrong belief, then I start living in illusion. There is an illusion created inside and I feel, yes, this is what I believe and it is right. I'm attached. I'm not willing to let go of it. So when there is deep attachment, there is an illusion created. And when there is an illusion, what happens? There is resistance. We are not able to accept others' ideas, others' beliefs. So when there is no acceptance, resistance, every day if there is a resistance on some other matter, what happens? Finally, what happens? Every day if there is resistance in the ideas, in the beliefs, what will happen? Break up. There will be a break up. So, whenever there is a resistance, then there is fear. Fear of breaking up, fear of being hurt, fear of being criticized, fear of failure, fear of so many fears. So many fears. And when we say fear of being hurt, who's going to be hurt? Who's going to be hurt? My ego. So wherever there is fear, fear is equal to ego. Wherever there is fear, fear is equal to ego. So, whenever there is a lot of disturbances going on, in our state of mind, a lot of upheavals inside, and we share it with somebody, any seniors, what advice do they give us? What advice do they give us? Simple advice, let go. Let go. Don't hold on to it. Otherwise, you are going to disturb your stage. Let go. What do I have to let go? What do I have to let go? I have to let go of the belief that I'm holding on to. Any wrong belief which is creating that clash, which is creating that disturbances. So they say, let go. So what do I have to let go? Let ego go. And what is ego? Ego is the wrong belief that I'm holding on. I have to let it go. So any seniors, you go for your problem solving and you share everything, This is what this person is doing, this person is saying, this person is doing like this. We have all showed as it is. Nowhere we have put our dictates of the mind. But after sharing everything, the dadis or the seniors would all let go of this small things. These are small things. Don't get stuck there. Let go. Let go. What is it that I have to let go? What is it that I have to let go? Huh? A belief. And that is the subtle point. The belief is so subtle and I'm not realizing that I'm holding on to it. And I feel it is correct. This should not be like this. So they say, let go. Let ego belief. Yes, one thing, wherever Srimad is concerned, we do not have to let go. But let go of the dictates of mind. Let that go. Small things, go. Develop a understanding somewhere. Okay? Whatever you think, okay, let's do it that way. See results. Instead of arguing, let us see the results. After doing that, the person will automatically understand. But nowhere should I compromise with Srimad. Where Srimad is, this is what I have to do. No. But I do not have to be very rigid in my nature. Taking up one point, Baba says, you have to be flexible, maintaining a balance between flexibility and firmness. But I do not have to compromise for any Srimad, no. And holding on to that Srimad is not rigidity. But understanding and inculcating it is going to help everyone. Like if I take the Srimad of Amrit Vela, holding to Srimad is not rigidity. But it is going to benefit me, it is going to benefit others as well. Because there is a lot of change that is going to take place when I do Amrit Vela meditation. When I regularly come for class, it's not rigidity. That is following the Srimad as it is. So, Baba says, where the Srimad is and holding the Srimad, that is not the great problems in your relationship with others. Because Srimad is accurate. And that is where Baba is responsible. Even if something goes wrong, Baba is going to be okay. But when I start compromising Srimad or let go of Srimad, that is where all problems are going to be created. Right? So understanding where I'm holding on to a subtle belief that is coming in my way. Wrong belief about myself, about my own identity that I've created. So what is ego? The definition of ego can be, the definition of ego is the attempt to a wrong belief which I've identified myself with. Therefore, I have to let go of that. So, it's a messenger that comes to tell me that I am holding on to something and I've identified myself with that something, so I have to let go. So, ego is the attachment to the wrong belief that I'm holding for myself. So I have to let go of that. Right? I have to let go of that. Very clear. And if there's any clash between two people, both the beliefs are clashing. So both are holding wrong belief maybe. So both will have to let go. Or Either I'm trying to compromise with Srimad, but there is a clash. There is clash that is experienced in life. Now, whenever that is, it comes with the messenger and tells me, it creates fear in me. Fear. Therefore, fear to be the sixth vice. Wherever there is fear, means it's a messenger that comes to tell me I'm holding on to something that I need to really let go of. I need to really let go of that. It's the messenger. Tells me, yes, I'm holding on to something wrong. So the fear is created. If it is Srimad, there is no fear. But if it is something really wrong, that is going to create fear in me. Srimad will never create fear. Manmat, dictate of my own mind, is going to create fear in me. Right? So that is the messenger. So then I have to have courage. Have courage to let go of. So what is courage? Courage is the ability to let go of that belief that the fear is real. Because fear is, so I'm holding on to something that is an illusion. So I need to have that courage to let go of the belief that the fear is real. Otherwise, what will happen? If I don't let go of that, what will happen? Attacks. Emotional attack. Heart attack. Why do people get heart attack? And they are holding on to it so tightly, they don't want to let go of. And somebody deserves that. Hurt them. So the ego is hurt. So the spasm is created. So emotion. Comes from two words. E in science is the energy in motion. The energy of our consciousness that is constantly moving. So the energy of my conscience which is in motion, when that is threatened, somewhere in some way or the other, then emotional attacks. Why do people get heart attacks? This is where the heart attack starts. Spasms start. So it is better. As soon as I see that messenger which is clicking fear and I let go of that, come on to Srimad, stabilize there, I see there is no heart attack. I can be saved. So it is not that those people who are obese or those people who have a lot of cholesterol or those people who are, they only get attacks. Nowadays, young boys, 14 years, 16 years, 18 years, they're getting heart attack. They're doing the gym, regularly exercising, everything, still they get a spasm. Because as the medical sciences say, that heart attacks is due to stress. And stress is due to ego. Wherever a person's ego is not satisfied, the stress level is high, and that is what makes him have the heart attack. Simple logic. Isn't it? So Baba has taught us so beautifully to let go. Immediately let go, and we are safe from all that. So what is the path that makes me a slave to that emotion? There are five steps how I become a slave. And these are five A's. Five A's. The first A is attention. Attention. The second A is attraction. The third A is then attachment. And wherever there is this attachment, then gradually it turns into addiction. And that addiction ultimately makes me reach that stage where I have to pay the price for it in form of atonement. So these are the five A's that make me a slave to this emotion. What do we really understand by this? I'll just give you an example to make you understand the five steps very quickly. Now, there is a young boy who has done his architect and he has passed his exams. Now he is having this degree of being an architect. So he's at home, just come back from his university with this degree of architect and at home. One day, a relative comes to see them. So, seeing the same boy at home, he asks him, "So, what have you done? You are grown up now." So he says, "Yes, I just completed my university and now I'm an architect." "Very good." He congratulates him. Then the uncle asks him, "So what have you planned? What are you going to do? Join any firm of architects, any association of architects, start your work, or on your individual self?" So this young boy says, "I've not yet decided. I'm still in two minds whether I should go in the firm of architects and get some experience there and then start on my own, or straight off start on my own." So this uncle says, "Well, till then, I have a project for you, if you are interested in that." So he says, "Let me know." So he says, "I have a piece of land which I want to develop. But I want to make it something so beautiful that whoever sees that building should feel, who is the architect of this building?" So this young boy, so enthusiastic, and says, "Surely I'll do this." So he says, "Okay, you give me some drawings, some elevation. I'll see the designs and then I'll finalize." So this young boy starts putting all his creativity in that project. This is his first project of life. So he does some beautiful elevations, some beautiful designs. And within 10 days, he goes up to that uncle to show him, "This is what I've done." After seeing those designs, he's so astonished. "You are really awesome. You have done some good things." So he's not able to decide. And he says, "Well, I think this one is the best. We'll go for this." So then he calls his contractors and the builders and he starts this project, the design that he has given, this young boy. And everybody said, "Well, this is a unique project. It is going to be a unique building." Everybody is happy. They start off with the work, the construction starts, and as the elevation is coming up, whoever is seeing that building wonders, "Who's the architect? Who's the architect of this building?" So they saw whose site it is. They contact that person and they want to hire a space or hire some things in it. And on the basis of that, then they finally ask him, "Who is your architect?" So this man says, "I'll let you know. Let the building be finished. Whoever goes from that road, gradually the land rates are also increasing because such a beautiful design is coming up. The municipality is also developing the roads and everything because this is a wonderful place and naturally the land is like booming up. The prices of those land is also booming up." So then, Finally, when the construction is over, the elevation is so beautiful, everything is finally done, then the inauguration takes place. And in the inauguration, this uncle calls his builders and contractors and the architect. And all the big shows from the city and around, when all are invited, he announces there, everybody was asking me, who's the architect of this building? Today I'm going to introduce you to this young man, this is the first project of his after completing his studies, and so beautiful. I know you'll all appreciate. So when he introduces that young man, this person is the architect. Everybody applauds. Everybody congratulates him. Everybody gives him good compliments. Now, listening to all those compliments, attention goes. Really? I've done something very great. Everybody's complimenting. My first project is so successful. Attention goes. That night, he could not sleep because of happiness. And he was thinking the whole night, what people must have liked most on the basis of the compliments that he got from people. So he was analyzing. Maybe this is what they liked most. This is what they liked most. And the more he's thinking about it, he's giving his energy in it. And the more his energy is going in it, attraction. The second attraction is there. Towards his own creation. Attraction. The more he thinks about it, the more energy is given. The more energy is given, attraction is increasing. And then, there is another group of people who comes up to him. Look, we have got a beautiful land. We would also like to develop this. If you can do something, but we have not that much of budget. Our budget is small. And if you can do that in that small budget, we do not want it so lavish. We can have it simple also. No problem. Can you make a design for us? That also is done and everybody appreciates. Such as, oh, he's done a wonderful job. So the second result, and people taught him so much in the society. Then he did this. When he has this attachment to the belief, I am the best. And when he holds on to that, is attached to that belief, what happens? Then there is a fear of being challenged. Challenge. If somebody else comes up and challenges me, so he has to be very cautious. So he's cautious. Another group of people come up to him. We have a project. We would like to build this, but if you can make it more simpler. If you like to use each and every inch of the space, no space should be wasted. In the first two projects, whatever you have done, lot of space was being wasted. That is why you could cannot afford to waste any space. We can't do this. Now, he feels if he goes too simple, trying to use every inch of the space, maybe it will become so ordinary that people may not appreciate. So he says, I'll try, but I can confirm that it'll be a very. He's trying to explain them technically what difficulties he has. Everything is explained. So these people, they say, okay, if you feel it is difficult for you, no problem. So now there is a fear of being challenged. If another architect will do it, less price than what he has kept for himself, because now when he's best, how can I come down in my price? I cannot compromise. this is my standard. So he fear of being challenged by some other architect. And he feels no problem. Let them go to other people. Means he's getting addicted to his own creation. Let's get it. So addiction means that he is too much holding on to the belief I am best, and he cannot accept any other's views, whatever they are saying. There is a lot of resistance for that. So that is the addiction to the ego that he has for himself, and for that he has to pay the price. The people hire some other architect, that architect charges him. Then people start criticizing him. What does he think of himself? Entered this field and two projects what he has done, he thinks he is some great. And so much criticism starts. So this is the subtlety of that ego. Now in order to master that or overcome it, manage or heal that emotion, the five A's. And these five A's are, the first of all is awareness. Awareness has to be created within. Awareness of my real identity. Who I am. What I am. Not forgetting that and not labeling ourselves with those limited labels. So I need to come out of that and rise my consciousness from a gross level. Awareness has to be created. The acknowledging. Acknowledging, this is just my profession for which I'm working. My real identity is I'm a soul, a beautiful soul, and acknowledging that how Baba has given so much of speciality in me, filled a lot of powers and specialities in me. acknowledging that. And as soon as I acknowledge that, then the acceptance level will increase. I'm able to accept everyone, everyone's ideas. There is no resistance for anyone, eerie acceptance for everyone. We are able to accept others' ideas, respect their ideas also, and guide them on the basis of Srimad also, instead of clashing with their ideas, resisting their ideas. No, acceptance level increases. Then I am able to rise from the gross level. As soon as I accept others, I create a place in their hearts too. I'm able to give them also that taste of what soul consciousness is, how the acceptance can make us be flexible, easily, easy nature. So that is where I ascend in my stage. My stage moves to a higher frequency. And when I'm moving to a higher frequency and I get attuned with that supreme source, when my frequency level is in that ascending way, I'm able to attune myself with others also very easily, naturally. There is nowhere where I have to suppress myself, or I do not have to suppress anybody else's feelings, but I am able to make them also ascend with my stage so that they are also able to attune. So these are the five A's that manage and heal that emotion. And it becomes easy for us to be in the world, be flexible, and at the same time follow our principles in the way we want to, and still people appreciate our nature. Right? Any questions? Any questions? No? So good. Thank you.
Yes, we have questions, sister.
Yes.
My name is Matan. I've been in Gilan over 10 years. I'm from Israel. So listening to your words, and my question is, going and talking about my my dilemmas with seniors and daddies, this is something that I'm absolutely okay with, and I do it because I know that I, the soul, am still weak, still very much tamapradan at this point in time, and I cannot take decisions on my own. But then again, I cannot bypass this stage. I cannot let myself refrain from going and talking about it with seniors, because I feel that this is a whole system that Baba gives me. Baba hands me a whole system to work with. So my question to you is, it's not a stage that I could evitate. It is a stage, the stage of consultation with a senior, the stage of debating a bit. It is stages I should adopt and still, do you understand what I'm saying?
Trying to understand that definitely we debate only when I feel as if the belief that I'm holding on to is correct. And so, why doesn't this person understand? So that is where the debate starts. But let me, instead of just resisting and debating, let me see the other side of the coin. Always there are two sides of the coin. Maybe I am holding on to the one side, but there is another side also. So instead of debating, let me accept the ideas of others also and see. And then we can compare, we can analyze. Then it will be easy for us to accept. Right? But if I'm holding on to it, and I feel, no, what I think and what I believe is right, that is when the debate starts. Because the other person was also going to be very rigid on his belief, and he feels, no, what I believe is right. So that is why Baba in his Murli says, you give your idea as a child, as a master, but then whatever the result is, whether it is accepted or not accepted, or whatever the weaknesses are, then they are discussed. And at that time I have to be a child. So the balance between master and child, both the stages.
What you're saying is, coming to a senior with an issue, I still have to keep open.
Yes.
Open-minded, light-minded.
Yes.
Maybe
yes.
Baba is going to rejuvenate, to
yes.
renew the intellect.
Definitely.
Which is perished.
We are going to learn something in depth from those seniors on the basis of their experiences. Right?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Other questions, please?
This is a very wonderful group. No questions. Okay.
Yeah. So on behalf of brothers and sisters, I would like to extend our deepest thanks to Sister Usha for sharing with us such a very important topic. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Would you like to lead us some meditation?
Sure.
Yeah.
No problem.
Thank you, sister.
Om Shanti. So for a few moments, let me turn my attention inwards and visualize myself and check whether there is any belief that I've created within myself, and I'm holding on to that belief. Because today I need to let go of that which I'm holding on to. I have the courage, the ability and so as I realize what is it that is holding me from moving forward, some very subtle beliefs that I have created about myself and others around me. Let me be flexible. And rub that belief on the touchstone of Srimad because Srimad is perfect, accurate. There can be no excuses when my belief is rubbed on the touchstone of Srimad. And as I follow Srimad, I realize beautiful results in my practical form. When this awareness is created within of my true identity, my real self, and as I acknowledge my acceptance increases and I start moving higher, higher in my consciousness, and no one can ever make me come down. Such a beautiful feeling I experience. Slowly and gradually I come back to the present self. Om.